What is up, After Buzzers? I'm Kaylee Rose, and we are here talking about Season 3, Episode 9 and 10, Fresno and Cakewalk. So don't go anywhere, because we have a ton to cover.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
There it is.
Woo! This is such a casual song.
Yeah, it is. This is Snowbank by Doug Hoyer.
Great
super
choice.
Song, right?
Super, super casual song.
Little pump up music.
Like it.
What is up, peeps? I'm Kaylee Rose, and you can find me all over social media at Kaylee Rose and catch my animated series, Between Busts, at Between Busts.
And you do want to catch it because it's super good. I've seen it and I highly recommend it, everybody.
Thank you.
My name is Elizabeth Alfano and you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at DinnerPartyCHGO. And of course, I'm still like the only person on the planet who's still on Facebook. So you can hit me up there at Elizabeth Alfano. And if you want to see all my celebrity interviews, go to thedinnerparty.tv.
Nice. So we are talking Season 3, Episodes 9 and 10, Fresno and Cakewalk. Let's get down to it. We're going to start in Fresno, California, where our episode begins.
Yes.
So I had a feeling by the title of this episode, we knew
we might
were headed.
We might end up there,
you know,
yes.
They kept making the Sacramento joke.
Yes,
Fresno is not Sacramento. Kind of near it.
Not really.
It became like this little
thing. Cut you some slack. Right?
Yeah, that Jack and Val had together.
Yes,
like all these Sacramento jokes. Which is, I don't know if Fresno has like an inferiority
complex. That's what I was thinking. Maybe? Is that there's like a rivalry and Fresno's obviously losing.
Yeah. That's, but Sacramento's the capital. We don't compete with the capital. We're LA. We don't need to compete. You know?
They're different worlds.
I don't know why.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't even go together.
Fresno, embrace your own identity.
Yes, be you.
We love you.
Yes, we love you. That's
love
right.
Ya.
Just be
Val
you.
Does not. So let's just start with Val.
Oh, Val. I don't know. Val, why are you doing this to me, Val?
Yes.
It's very hard. So every episode I watch Val, I just think, like, you're taking your life and you're throwing it away. It's a beautiful life. It
you're
could be.
You're bitch slapping your life. You're turning
and
around
your daughter's.
And you're,
bitch slapping your daughter's life too. It's and everyone you touch, actually. Val,
everyone.
Please stop it.
Especially Jack.
Yeah, well, Jack's, that's just, he's got
so
taken.
So Val and Jack are
taking
back.
The drugs.
We first see them at a cafe doing what they do best, which is their playful banter, and they're making fun of like everyone who walks in.
Yes.
Love it. Very Jack and Val moment.
Yes, yes.
So we learn that last time we saw Val, we saw her with the information on the piece of paper about her brother. He's in Fresno. It looks like she's going to maybe follow up. And this episode, entitled Fresno, we see that she does. So they're waiting at the cafe to meet Rich. What'd you think of Rich, Elizabeth?
Well, so I knew that this couldn't be any more polar opposite. And I knew that they'd probably build a character to be someone who would really get under her skin. So somebody who believes that life is all about superheroes and is a butcher.
He loves his X-Men. That was, I wrote in my notes, awkward AF conversation.
Yes, right. Yeah, so he's a little, like, socially awkward and will say, like, not well-adjusted. Although when we do end up meeting his family, I thought they were better adjusted than he. And I was like, how did you score that family?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, because you're not so, like, legit yourself. Yeah. But he's got this very weird, like,
energy.
Slightly off. And you can see that, you know, Val can, like, barely get through the lunch without drinking the coffee. I mean, I don't know. It must have been 10:30 in the morning,
well,
11 or
the
something.
Dinner, she's pounding
by herself.
By herself.
Champagne.
No one else is
by herself. Yeah. She's just like, nobody wants some.
Yeah. Like, I like a good glass of wine, but if no one else is drinking, you tend to sometimes be like, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't. Not Val.
No, no. I think Val's lists of, you know, addictions are getting longer and longer. She's burying herself a little bit there. But, okay, you know,
and
who am I to judge?
In the next episode, they're transferring onto her daughter. But we'll get there.
Yes,
we'll get
there.
Lots of alcohol in these two episodes.
Very sad to see that one. Yeah. Yeah, so we do get to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, she just can't wait to dish on Fresno.
Yeah.
She does that.
She dishes on everything. I mean, she's talking about her mother. She's shit-talking everyone, which is a very Val thing to do. You know?
Yeah.
But she poops all over Fresno.
Yes.
It's really a shame.
And even Jack, who, you know, is trying to give up alcohol himself, they arrive at the door and he's like, so we were talking about pie. Mm. You were going to bring pie. That's not exactly pie. And, you know, Val, who has taken to lying. This is what I see. She lies a lot. She's like, oh, yeah, they didn't have pie.
Yes.
Move on. We're drinking. So.
And I love that Rich, I mean, the poor guy, he's talking about X-Men, and then we cut, I don't remember if it was to Laura or Alex, and then we come back, still talking about X-Men.
X-Men, right, yeah, yes.
An in-depth, play-by-play breakdown of the movie X-Men Futures Past. I've seen it, it's a great movie.
Yes.
Don't need it broken down so much.
Yes, yeah.
I wouldn't try to convince someone.
So it seemed that this was his life.
Yes.
And, you know, he's so he has a very small life. I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but he has a more country life, I'll almost say.
Smaller than Val.
And then smaller than Val.
And her cosmopolitan
way. And
so she
feels, right.
And try to judge it.
Yes.
Which so rude.
Which she does, yeah.
He's a butcher.
Yeah.
And he has a nice little life. Let's not, you know?
And I thought his son was very nice, you know, being very polite. And his wife seemed very nice.
And
just
actually,
simple.
They were a little judgy. Don't you think?
The wife and son?
Yeah, because when Val brought up, they said, oh, where's your daughter? And she said, I don't really know. The looks on their faces were not understanding.
Okay, so here's your opportunity to judge me.
Yeah.
I was just like them. I was like, don't you know where you're... She's only 17, and she's written, in my opinion, Laura's written much older.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see her as very much a 24-year-old, 23, 24, 25, the way she views sex and... how she deals with other people and how she got up and stood in front of a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll talk about that later, but she has this public speaking experience. So she is a very old 17-year-old, but still, why wouldn't you know where your 17-year-old is? If you're gone for the whole weekend. Yeah.
And I love at the end of the episode, we're fast forwarding. You guys, I'm going to do this episode by character. And then the next one I'm going to do sequentially because it's a very time-lapse-y episode.
That's right.
So bear with us. But at the end of this episode, we see that Laura finally reaches back out to Val. She calls her.
Yes.
She's having all of these internal struggles and all these questions. Finally calls her mom on the phone. And what is Val doing but fucking Jack?
Right. Yes. And poor Jack.
Which she's celebrated.
Yeah. Oh, you
I'm
did?
I'm glad. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I love them together. I do. I think he's good for her. She's good for him. I know he thinks he's a sex addict.
But you don't think he is.
Struggling with that. I mean, Alex doesn't think he is. We'll get to that.
Right.
But
yes.
I just like them together and I'm going to root for them.
Okay.
I'm a lover at
that's
heart.
That's kind of you.
I'm a love lover.
Okay. I don't think I can do that.
No?
And the reason is because I like Jack.
Yeah.
And so because I like Jack,
that's
I don't think I can really root for them because I just feel like, okay, she's toxic in many ways, Val, and she's just going to bring him down. So, you know, there he says, I've got things that I'd like you to respect, like let's no alcohol for me, and I'd love to have a relationship with you again. I'd love to try again. Mm. He said that in such a nice way. I would really like to try again, but with no sex. And she just doesn't honor any of those boundaries that he's set up. So she's the whole time
she guilts him.
Yes, the whole time she's working on ways to get him into bed.
Yep.
And
she's
so
a master manipulator.
She is, and I really wonder to what end, because it's not like she's working on herself in any way, shape, or form.
Nope.
She's just like digging herself deeper. So I almost think it's to like hurt the people around her. She's in so much pain that she wants them to feel pain. She does this to Alex all the time.
Yeah.
I know I'm jumping ahead too, and I'll try not to do this to you. But
good.
You know, it looks like he's got some joy coming his way. He has a little bit of a thing that he's worried about, but he's finally with someone that he. I don't want to make
An
him feel
tusk?
Bad.
Yeah. An
Alan Trump. Something going on there, and
it
I don't.
Be.
Yes, I don't want to make him feel bad, so I don't want to say it out loud. But you know, he finally has some love in his life. He likes her. Seems like she, Judy Greer, doing such a great job. Seems like she likes him. But you know, Alex
Val
is picking it. Val's picking at that.
Yeah. But can I just root for Team Val and Jack for a second?
Okay.
All
okay.
Right.
Okay. I'll cut you some slack.
I'm not pro Val, but I am pro Val and Jack.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
I have this hope that he is so good for her and she might be okay for him. And if there's any hope for Val, that it might be Jack. You know, like we knew Liam wasn't going to work at all. He wasn't at her level where he could challenge her in the right ways. So maybe, just maybe, I'm happy that they got back together in this way because he can help her.
So I don't think Val can be helped until she helps herself. I mean,
right.
I think she can as an individual, but she's going to have to do the work.
Yeah, where are her therapy sessions, you know? Like, we see so many therapy sessions in the show, except the person who needs
really
them.
Needs it, how can she counsel other people?
I don't
how
know.
Is that allowed?
We don't see her just see her judge.
Well, no, we just see her, right?
Like,
we just see her be like...
Yeah,
she was like,
stalk them in cafes.
Right, right, right.
All right, I'm done with Val.
Well, okay, but I'm not done with Val. So sorry, I've got one more thing to say about Val.
Get it in there.
So I think it's the beginning. I hope I'm not screwing up my episodes here. I think it's the beginning of episode 9 when they're coming over to play the game. Do I have the episode right?
Game? They came over for a dinner party in episode 10.
In episode 10, no, yeah. But they come...
Oh, the rat
over
one?
The... Is it the rat game? Oh, that might have been an earlier episode.
I'm trying to think if that was their... Well, you can still talk the rat about one. It.
So, Laura brings over Casey.
Yes, that was the rat game.
And Val feels a little bit threatened. Uh-huh. And she's like, well, who is this? And she didn't even know that her daughter was working at a new place. I mean, it's amazing how she just... I don't think she really has a daughter
she's
in her
like
mind.
She's like an energy vampire. You it's know? Really... She ruins every game night. I say this every week.
Yeah, she ruins every game night.
And I'm a big game night fan, so this... She
so
would
don't
never
be messing
be
with her
back.
Game night.
No, she's not coming to play any kind of game.
Val, you're not invited.
No Cards Against Humanity with you, Val. Okay?
Yeah,
so you can hear me
off.
Now.
Well, so she says to her daughter, like, you know, why didn't you tell me about this? And her daughter says plainly, you didn't ask. Mm-hmm. And then Val throws it back in her face. And because Laura's asking, well, why didn't you tell me this? And Val says, because you didn't ask. Really? Like, snotty? And I think, like, okay, who's the parent?
They
here?
Act like sisters instead of, like, mother and daughter.
And Val acts like the younger sister. So, yes. Okay, that's my Val. Yeah. Now I'm done with Val.
Well, let that take us to Laura. Okay. Laura is asking all of these very... She's having some deep issues.
Yes,
and
she
she's asking great questions about her family, about her family's poison.
Yes.
In the form of her
mother,
she
nails it. I think she actually defines it.
Yeah.
And, you know, puts a finger on it, which is great.
Yeah. And she has to call Alex. Well, okay. She's hanging out with Casey all day.
Yes.
Let's review.
Yes, right. Casey. Casey's taking
Casey's
a turn.
There. I'm still waiting for the weird thing to happen with Casey. I
it's
feel
gonna,
like something's
going to give there. Yeah.
We'll see. But Casey encourages her to speak at the meeting, which is on a moratorium about fracking.
Right.
And Laura is not all about it until she gets to the actual meeting.
Yes,
and
right.
She and she steps up to the plate and she makes this beautiful
oddly
speech.
Inspired.
Yeah.
Right.
So inspired.
Yes.
I mean, I was so proud of her. It was such this incredible moment. And Casey did a really good thing by saying, you know what? Don't worry about it if you don't want to speak.
So,
which allowed Laura to say, wait, I do.
Right, right. So in this way, Casey's just a wonderful mentor for Laura. When Laura, who's in just a vacuum, who has no one really to follow in their footsteps. But I think what's interesting here, and to my knowledge, maybe I got this wrong, you can correct me if I've got it wrong, but to my knowledge, this is the first gender-to-gender relationship we're seeing. So this whole season, the whole series is about sex, but right now it's pretty much been heterosexual sex.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
obviously, as we know,
little,
there's...
tryst, I'll say, with a female classmate.
Right, right,
you know?
Right.
But
this is
more than a tryst.
You can see how deeply she feels. And,
and
I would say this is her first feeling of love, really,
intense.
That we've seen. Yes, potentially love.
Absolutely.
And so I'm glad the series is dealing with some gender-to-gender relationships, because, you know, there's not just one way for sex, so
absolutely.
That's kind of great.
Oh, and actually, Val had sex with Alex's girlfriend, I mean,
yes, but that was sort
female,
of like
female action in this show.
But that to me was more like
love.
Play.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm getting working out some
for
energies.
Sure.
I don't know.
Not love at all. Yeah.
I don't know. Right.
But I wonder, and we talked about it a little bit when Julie Berman was here.
Mm.
Laura might think it's love. She's certainly feeling
sure.
something that feels great and then not so great. But it's also probably this fascination with Casey because she's a woman that she looks up to and maybe wants to be, and so she might be confusing those feelings as something romantic.
Yes, I think it's just very confusing, period.
Yeah.
Is it love? What does it feel like? Is it a friend that I'm... Because, you know, she can trust Casey. Casey, she feels like, is looking out for her and is relatively speaking, until we've seen maybe her life with interns, but relatively speaking... sane and a good role model and having a vision and having a focus and going somewhere in life. So, you know, does she want to be like Casey?
Yeah.
Does she want to befriend Casey? Is Casey like her gal pal? Is she her love interest? It's hard.
Yeah, and we've heard Casey has this thing for interns, but we haven't seen anything yet, you know, until she gets into bed with her. Casey's sleeping.
Yes.
Laura comes in, and Casey invites her into bed. And I'm not okay with these things happening, you know?
Interesting.
They're hanging out outside of work and they're friends, but it's this woman who's probably 10 to 15 years
at
older.
At least, right.
She should not be inviting a 17-year-old girl into bed.
But they
bed
didn't
with
do
her.
Anything.
No, they didn't.
So it felt friendly in bed. But I know what you're saying.
It
felt like, you know, didn't you ever have sleepovers when you were young and like, you know, 13-year-olds, you'd all climb. Yes, right. You'd
you know,
of course, right.
It's different.
Right. Yes,
there's something
different.
Wrong.
There's
I
something
just feel
wrong.
Like
well, can I? Am I allowed to say our guest for next week? Can I?
Yes.
Can I? Okay. So we have
special
creator,
announcer.
Executive producer, writer. I think he's even directed a couple. No, maybe he hasn't directed a couple of them, but
that's
he is. I don't think so. But he's the writer, creator, and executive producer, Xander Lehman. He's going to be here next week. And so I'm going going to ask, we're all going to ask him about Val and like, what the heck? And what is the inspiration for this character?
Yes.
Some big questions for you, Mister. So he's going to be here.
We'll have some talks.
So I don't know. It's breaking my heart, really, Laura.
Laura. But she has this beautiful moment where she gets up to speak in front of this council. And she makes this beautiful speech where she says, nobody wants to talk about the hard things. And it says, shouldn't we want to talk about the hard things the most instead of sweeping them under the rug and letting the poison seep inside us? Because once it's there, it affects everyone. And she's not just talking about the fracking.
Of course. She's talking about her family.
Damage on the environment.
Right.
She's also talking about the emotional damage that other people can cause other people.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So, I mean, I think it was probably the most profound thing anyone has said.
Yes, the entire series.
Really. You know?
Right, yes.
Last week I said that about Casey's wife. Wife. Because she says these beautiful, profound things about love and relationships in Casey. So now Laura took the cake. So maybe someone else will say something new and profound in our next episode.
I want it to come from Alex. Because, how I like him.
I like him a lot.
Oh, I love how he's written. I love how he's acted. I love how he looks. He's just funny,
very
and sweet.
I feel creepy when I talk about Alex.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, why?
Yeah. Last week when I was here by myself, I was just like, he is very cute. And, he is this. And, oh, we might have him in to interview eventually, and then I'm going to feel super embarrassed.
Yes, he might be here. We're still working on that, so stay tuned, because it would be great to have him.
Yes.
I just think he really is the series for me. I know the series is really him and Val, and then also Laura, but for me, it all kind of, turns around him, and I think it's very fun to see him in love and having a
so
good
let's
time.
Get to the flirtation
let's get to the good
office.
Stuff. Yes,
I love that office flirtation. So Alex is adorable.
So
and
cute.
Offers Judy half of his sandwich, which is like the move that a 5-year-old would make to another 5-year-old, and it's perfectly encapsulating his treatment of relationships because he's 5.
Yeah, yes. Although growing, he's maybe 7.
Growing
now.
Every day, 7 and that half. it was adorable.
But he takes some rejection. At first, he interprets this as rejection because she can kind of see what's coming down the pipeline and doesn't really think it's a good idea.
Well, she turns him down. He asks her on a date, and she says no, and she basically runs away. awkward situation, and then she's just kind of like, bye.
Yes. Well, because she is human resources. Yeah. You're not supposed to do that.
That's true.
And then she does have her son who keeps coming to the office.
He's
she's
so
kind
cute.
Of working through. He is so cute.
Yes.
He is so cute. She's
Clark.
Kind of working through Clark. She's kind of working through a divorce with her husband.
Yes. So she's separated. She's not divorced.
Officially
so they have
divorced.
This kind of heart-to-heart talk eventually.
Yes.
And she confesses, well, this is kind of why I'm not so comfortable dating yet. I'm separated. I'm not divorced.
Right.
But Alex persists.
Yes.
And they end up, the whole office comes to Alex's house.
Which is incredible.
Of course.
For YouTube star
no
Gia.
No boundaries. Like,
right.
He's going to invite the whole office into his house.
Yeah.
But yes, YouTube star. And
who never shows.
She never shows. They take advantage of the whole place. They broke his waffle
How
iron.
How dare they? Life has come to a critical end here.
Yes, it's his favorite thing in the world.
Yes,
and so he has this explosion because he's got dumped by Judy.
Yes,
well, not dumped, but rejected. Flat out rejected by Judy. And then they broke his waffle iron. The guy's just trying to get Judy.
Is there no mercy?
And he keeps getting pushed down.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was sad. But I understood why he was having an outburst. And at least this time, it was not in the office, but in his home around coworkers. So he's making progress.
I actually thought it was a very good outburst.
Yeah.
I didn't think that this was a childish outburst,
true.
Actually. Perhaps I see myself in Alex. I was like, okay, we have limits. And when you have bad days and then people are in your personal space and you just feel like your whole life is being turned upside down by people who are being very negligent, the guy just whipped around and he was like, whoops, whatever.
Yeah. Not apologetic
then you feel
whatsoever.
Like, okay. And he doesn't even like that job.
Mm-mm.
So the fact that all of the coworkers are in his house and they're kind of destroying his house and he, Judy's right there and she had turned him down. I can see where he'd be like, okay, I draw the line.
I loved that we saw Christina Emerson again, who we got to interview, playing Sia. And
it's
she
wonderful.
Had this great little moment when Judy had to leave. And Alex basically invited them to his house to get closer to Judy.
Right.
You know, it's all a ploy to get in her pants.
Mm-hmm.
And then
in a
Judy
good way.
Leaves.
Yeah.
And Judy leaves and says, all right, I'll leave you here with Sia. And Sia's like,
ugh.
Yeah.
Right.
Great. Oh,
yeah.
great. Yeah. And she just has this awesome underplayed way of saying her lines. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then we have another boundary that is crossed by Alex and his coworkers when he and Judy are having this intimate conversation about their dating.
Right. Yes.
They zoom out to show that it's in front of all
the whole office, right?
Like, yeah. He just cannot respect home office boundaries.
Well, and also you can see it's so prevalent. It's so top of mind for him. He can't restrain himself.
Yeah.
He has to talk about it. And if everyone's around and can hear him, oh well.
Yeah.
Then everyone can hear him. But he like, but I thought he did. Now, in credit to him, I thought he did a good job of explaining his feelings and didn't try to hide them or act juvenile or whatever. He just said, "I feel badly and rejected because I should have read the situation better, and I didn't, and I feel badly about that."
And it's good that he communicated, because if
because that turned it around, really.
Exactly.
That turned it around, because then she said why she didn't want to go, because she was still working through her divorce. And then, you know, lo and behold, they end up having a date that they didn't even think they'd have.
Yeah, and she kissed him.
She called it a date.
She kissed him. Good for you, Judy Greer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Judy Greer's so great.
Judy.
She is so great.
Yeah.
She's doing such a great job.
I was so happy.
I love her, like, natural way of being, even when she's acting. So funny, because I was watching the shows with my boyfriend, and he's like, who is her? Who is she? I've seen her before. And, you know, she has a book out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think the title of it is I Don't Know What You've Seen Me In. Because she's been in so many things. And everybody recognizes her, but you don't know what you've seen her in.
And now she's the voice of that little Hawaiian dancer girl on, you know how there's always a Hawaiian dance? Not always. There's often a Hawaiian dancer on people's car dashboards.
Yes.
They have this, I think it's some gas company. Sorry, gas company. But it's her voice in the Hawaiian dancer.
Oh, that's
like going
too
to
great.
A ball game and all these cute little things.
That's so Judy Greer.
She's everywhere.
That's fantastic.
It's
she is her
thing.
Judy Greer. She's everywhere.
She should be everywhere.
Everywhere you want to be.
But I love the kiss. They're finally coming together in a great, great way.
And he's been so frustrated at work and at home. And he's frustrated with Val, too, because she's kind of shut him out.
Yeah.
He really wanted to be part of looking for the half-brother. You know, he was trying to do some great things there, doing all the research for her and trying to find the half-brother and where he is. And
I mean, what do you think about that, though? Do you think that was great, or do you think that it wasn't his place?
I know that's what Val feels.
Yeah.
I think any caring brother who knows that your sibling might be going through something painful and they have no parents to fall back on because you've killed one of them and your other one's loopy.
Yeah.
So I would want to be there for my sibling.
I think
you're
he was
all
trying
you have.
To help in his own way.
Yes.
But he also should respect her boundaries. See, he has a boundaries issue. But he's my favorite and I relate with him the most. So maybe that says something about me.
Is it a boundary issue? So this is about me then.
I mean, you could say siblings have no boundaries, but
I mean, the intention is really to I mean, it's not like Val's got a great toolbox of skill sets. So, you know, he's there to help her kind of work through it. And I think he also feels guilty because he kept the secret for a while.
Yeah.
So
that's his way of making,
that's
up
his
for
way
it, for
of
sure.
making it up. And okay, it wasn't for Val, and I get that. And she pounced back, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I get it. But, you know, he was trying to help her out
My
there.
My heart
so.
Goes out to him
yeah,
every time.
Yeah. Yes,
and
right.
it's interesting, too, you said how you thought that Val's brother would be very dissimilar from her and get under her skin. I was wondering, because I thought, okay, he could either be... It'd be interesting if they got, like, a carbon copy of Alex as the brother.
Oh,
and then saw what that did to Alex and got under his skin.
Oh, yes.
But instead, Rich is getting under her skin.
Right.
With all of the X-Men.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it was
yes.
funny in the hotel scene, then they show her, she's so bored because Jack has to do something for work, and she's like all pouty because Jack had to leave her by herself, and then they show her watching X-Men.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
just happens to be on TV. But it was a fantastic little
Well, I liked
circle.
The massage scene.
Yes.
When
next episode, we're almost there.
Okay, all right, I'll hold on to it. Because they've got Jack and Val have some really good small scenes, you know, as you go through.
I love them.
Yes.
So much.
Yes.
Well, so Judy kisses Alex. I celebrated by myself while watching it and was a fangirl over them because I love their coupling.
Yes.
Another couple I love, Leah and
love,
Liam.
Love, 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 love,
so
love,
we begin
love,
the episode
oh, yes.
with Leah. We finally saw into her apartment, which we've never seen.
So
Julie
cute.
Berman is
It's just
awesome.
So cute. Yes,
yes,
she is awesome.
She's getting ready for Liam to come over. And I like how they bookended the
yes,
whole episode
they
with them.
And yes,
it's like
ended.
We needed their cuteness
yes.
in order to get through all of the
And
terrible
their normalcy.
Relationships.
Like,
yeah.
they They communicate.
Healthy. Yep.
They're affectionate.
Yep.
They do other
Vulnerable.
Things besides sex.
Mm-hmm.
They talk to each other. They're
they
both
do crosswords.
They do crosswords. They're both vulnerable, as you say.
Yep.
So she says, you know, oh, maybe you still have feelings for Val. And
mm-hmm.
they have that discussion. I mean,
I love them so much.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm thank
they're
you,
adorable.
Xander, for giving us a normal couple somewhere.
Yes.
That's
they're
great.
They're adorable.
Yes.
I mean, they're doing the crossword in bed together.
Yeah.
And then I love how she's getting ready for him to come over, and it shows her hiding her mouth guard. It's like, you know, she's not going to sleep with that in her mouth tonight.
Yes.
And I recently got a mouth guard for the first time in my life.
Does it help?
It's the worst, but it helps.
Well, why?
Because you have this
look
big
at your
hunk of plastic.
You have beautiful, perfect teeth.
I grit my teeth. Grind,
oh.
grit. Yes, that too. I do everything. I grit them and I grind them. I find that my jaw is super tight because I'm stressed at night.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like wearing them down and it hurts on one of them.
Oh,
so
gosh.
I have this huge,
oh, wow.
bulky, terrible mouth.
Is there metal around?
No, it's just
okay.
plastic, thank God. But I wake up with like such dry mouth and roll over to my fiance and I'm like, good morning.
How does that go over?
It's pretty sexy.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, it's obviously true love if your fiance is like, good morning back.
Well, he has his retainers yes. in, so he's
no.
like, good morning.
Oh, you both have your retainers.
She looks so sweet.
Why does he have a retainer? All these adults with like braces.
I know.
It's incredible.
I had perfect teeth up until I started grinding them. I never had retainers or anything.
Oh, that's so
I
funny.
Know.
I just did all the orthodontist stuff early
yeah.
on, and then
You're
I
lucky.
Never had it again.
You must be
but,
very relaxed.
Well, I don't know.
But I related to Leah hiding them, because if it was a first date, I would have never worn them
oh, no.
in my life, you know?
No, no, no.
yeah.
On a 10th date,
Absolutely.
I wouldn't have worn them. I don't even think you should really be wearing them with your fiance, but
I should just sneak them in.
yes.
That's fair.
When you take
I'll
naps
take
and
advice.
He's not around. Yeah.
I'll take that advice. But yeah, they're adorable. And we see Leah
they're super cute.
Ask Liam to move in.
I know.
Super cute.
And the way they do it is so cute.
Mm.
He says, oh, did you make these keys for me? She's like, no, I didn't ahead of time. And he's like, you did, didn't you? Oh, no, I didn't. I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So she has kind of pre-planned it and asked him, you know, she didn't
yeah.
ask him officially to stay.
Yeah.
She said, well, you've still got construction going on, so just in case you need
yeah.
them. You know, so again, showing her vulnerability, their vulnerability.
I love them so
and
much.
How sweet they are
yeah.
and how happy he was about it. You know, he's just a
we
love bug.
Them.
He's just a sweet pea.
Yeah.
So,
we
yeah.
needed them in
we
this
needed
episode
that.
In
yeah.
order to...
We do. We did, we did.
Go through all of the terrible relationships that happened.
Yes,
so we
right.
don't see Leah and Liam at all in episode 10, but
right.
it made me sad, but we will still talk about it.
Yes.
Episode 10
all right.
is called Cakewalk, and it begins with Laura looking very depressed, singing Landslide.
Yes.
So depressing.
Yes.
We don't
yes.
know why, but it cuts back to 2 weeks earlier, and we see the happy little couple, kind of couple, Judy and Alex hanging out outside of work. And they're watching cute little Clark do some karate.
He
and
is
it's
cute.
Adorable.
Yeah.
And
cute.
I love
that kid
Alex
is so
in this
cute.
Like semi-parental role.
Right.
So
Again,
cool
because
it.
With Emmy, we saw
yeah.
when she was pregnant, he was sort of
was
lamenting,
ready.
Like, oh gosh, I wish it were mine.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm ready, maybe I could do it. Maybe
yeah.
that would bond me to her and we would have something, you know, long lasting.
Yeah.
I think he's ready for long lasting.
Absolutely. And they then cut to Val and Jax happily exercising, hiking. So good for
right.
Val. Maybe she's on the upswing.
Right,
with Jack,
okay.
Perhaps,
okay.
Maybe.
Yes.
And then they all run into each other.
Yes.
So Val has never met Judy. Judy has never met Val or Jack. So this is the first meeting. Val didn't even know that they worked together. It's the
right.
most awkward run-in ever between
yes,
the brother and sister.
But I sort of felt like, oh, Val, you can't have it, but poor me, dissing on Val again.
No.
But you can't have it both ways, Val. So you have ostracized your brother because
mm-hmm.
you told him to mind his own business and respect her boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does that, and then you can't be like, well, why haven't you told me about everything going
yeah.
on in your life?
It almost begs the question, do you need to distance yourself from someone else in order to get closer to someone? You know, you only have so much time and love
oh,
and affection to spread around. So
well,
I think they both needed to part ways a little bit. They're very codependent.
They're very codependent.
And that allowed Val to get closer to Jack and Alex to get closer to Judy.
Yes.
It's so sad, you know?
Is it?
I
don't
them.
Know. No, I think, as you say, I think it's healthy.
Yeah,
I think they both
healthy.
Have issues to work out. I think they are crutches for each other for not
yeah.
dating. So if you're going to start these relationships, as you say, I think that's a great
you
idea.
You need to depart a little
yes.
bit. And
right.
so they plan this little double date, and we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
So then we cut to Laura, still looking depressed, and Val makes
Poor
her
thing.
Get out of bed because apparently Laura took 6 bottles of wine and left a stain on the table.
So I have a question about that. Laura says, who's also sort of taken to lying, because
uh-huh.
she is her mother's daughter, and that's
mm-hmm.
the only role model she has. Because she was even lying to Casey a little
yeah.
bit in the previous episode.
Yeah.
just kind of, I think, feeling
bad. Yeah, about the divorce.
Yes, and feeling badly about Casey's affection, perhaps, towards other interns. And so she's being a little passive-aggressive there. Uh-huh. But when Laura says, oh, well, I had some friends over, do you think she did, or did you think it was all her?
I think it was all her, right?
Oh, gosh.
But we don't know the time span.
No, we don't.
Later it shows her, I'm pretty sure she stole that bottle of liquor from the liquor store, you know?
I think she did. Oh, I think she stole 17. It, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. But she could have a fake ID, but it doesn't show it. It just shows her pulling it out of the bag.
Yeah,
so
no.
So I'm pretty sure she drank the 6 bottles.
Yeah, I don't think she paid
herself.
For it. I think she paid, right.
Yeah. And then
so where did this come up? Her, I mean, I guess her depression and her confusion and
Casey.
Her acting out.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Casey's a great influence on her in a lot of ways.
And then all of a sudden that takes a turn.
She's tearing her apart, yeah.
Right. Well, because she doesn't know how to communicate her feelings, mm-hmm. and she doesn't even know, Laura, I'm talking about, doesn't even know specifically what her feelings are. Mm-hmm. And then Casey now has become a little bit fly-by-night in the sense that work is now taking her to Sacramento.
Yeah.
So she's gone away, and I think mm-hmm. she's feeling a sense of loss, Laura is, maybe even a sense of betrayal. And then a confusion.
Yeah.
Is this more than a job for me? What is this?
Yeah.
Is she a mother figure? Is she a love interest? Is she a boss?
I wonder if she really thinks she's a love interest and only we see that she's a mother figure, you know?
Yes.
She might just think she's infatuated and wants to...
I don't know, because, and again, I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, but here we are in episode 2. She ends up babysitting for Clark because the babysitter couldn't be there for mm-hmm. Judy. And she runs, drinking already, like heads straight for the liquor cabinet. She sees Clark's height chart that his mother was following. Obviously a mother doting on her son and paying attention to details in a way she never had.
I guess not. And no height chart for Laura. And I love how she treats Clark like an adult. Like they have a very adult conversation.
Well, and I love how Clark actually... who's what, 10, 11, 9, 10, 11?
Yeah.
He almost becomes like the babysitter to Laura because he's like, you're sad. What's going on?
And he did the same thing to Alex.
That's right, yes.
He was the parental figure for
Alex, too. Sure, because he's got such a good mom.
I mean, he's precocious,
so he's like,
but he's also still a child.
Yes.
Come
yes,
on, people.
Right. No,
but
he
that
is,
was adorable.
He is. And then he's the one who says, because I love all the Fleetwood Mac references, so I am really skipping ahead here. But
go it. Do it.
It is so cute when he holds the disco ball.
Aww.
It is so incredibly cute.
He's
yes.
holding the disco ball.
Oh, it was so wonderful.
And he has such an emotional sensibility to him, too, because he sees that she's hurting and she's drinking right in front of him.
Yeah.
But the look on her face does not hide it. And he asks, you know, what's going on? The only person to ask her in her whole family. He's not even family. And then he says, were you in love with her? You know? So he's asked the question that we've been waiting for.
I actually feel... that I did a little bit of work with homeless youth, and I feel like Laura's homeless. But, I mean, particularly in this episode, episode 10, she's at a carnival, I think.
Yes.
At first, I thought they had trans...
hallucination.
Was it a hallucination?
I am pretty sure.
The carnival wasn't, though. It was what she saw at the carnival.
But Casey
because
being there,
yes because she was so dreaming and thinking about Casey that she actually saw her.
Because the cake was real.
So
Laura goes into a carnival. It seems like she's following Casey, but then Casey disappears like a ghost. And so she's obviously very drunk. And you see her in this depressed state in a cakewalk, so odd, which gives us our episode title, and she wins the cake, and she's not happy about it because she's depressed. And later you just see the cake on the kitchen table, presumably where that wine stain was, maybe for Val, maybe just discarded because Laura's depressed and doesn't want cake.
She probably doesn't even know when Val's coming back.
It was very symbolic, very interesting.
Yes.
It was a nice... representation of the chaos that she's in.
Yes, and the void she's in. That's what I feel for her more than anything.
Yeah.
Is that she has no guidance, not even at work now, because the boss has gone away to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. So there's no guidance at work. There's no structure there. There's no guidance at home. There's no structure there. And there's no structure for what would be any sort of relationship life for her. The most structure she has is Clark at the moment.
Clark.
I mean, she has somebody who's actually saying, let's talk about it. How do you feel? Let me help if I can.
Which is beautiful.
Let's sing Landslide
together. My heart went out to her when you saw her on Google Maps, seeing how long it would take to drive to Fresno.
At first, when we opened, I thought that she had almost in a stalking manner gone to Sacramento, I think you mean, right?
Yeah. Oh,
Sacramento.
I said Fresno.
Yes, we're still on our mind, Fresno, because we love you.
We do love you, Fresno.
So don't feel bad about
it. Yeah, she's Google mapping Sacramento. It's just so sad. Like, just
so
thinking
sad.
Of that teenage heartbreak.
Yes.
I used to write in my journals over these boys that, you know, would break up with me or whatever. I mean, I must have looked like I was about to off myself the next day. I was so dramatic.
Yes.
But it hurt. It hurt. I felt so much.
But
to
those boys who were ever stupid enough to break up with our Callie Rose, she's getting married in September.
You know who
you are. So you are out, mister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You missed out. Thank you, friend.
You're welcome.
So speaking of relationships and sex, cut to Alex and Judy trying to finally get it on for the first time ever.
Okay.
And it does not go well.
It does not go well because he's self-conscious because he has manscaped himself.
He primped so hard that he primped too hard.
So there's, and then nothing could get hard. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's just really, I had
well
to.
Well done.
I'm sorry.
I set you up and you knocked it
out
of the
Lord.
Park. I loved it so much.
So I don't, did he wax? Did he tweeze?
There was not enough hair down there. He showed it to Ray. So let's talk about Ray for a second.
Oh, let's talk about Ray for
she's
a second.
Back.
Ooh, I'd love.
We weren't sure if she was going to be back or not. Maybe she was going to move out after they had sex. And yet, no, now they have an even more open, honest, and communicative relationship.
And I love how normal they are around each other. Yes. He's like so showing his junk.
Yeah. And in the last episode, he kind of said to her, like, what do I need to do? You know, why am I having such trouble dating? And the things that she says are way too blunt, way too mean, but apparently they're true. Apparently his toenails are talons.
I was going to say, that actually helped.
Yeah. It did, yeah. And she said that he was a little too selfish. So now she's involved in his dating life because she has to look at his package. And he
can't close it up either.
Way too much.
Yeah, right.
He's just like, standing there.
Yes. And she's like, close your junk already. And he's like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't,
but she doesn't help because then he gets so incredibly worried about it that he cannot perform.
Yes.
And it's very sad.
Oh, our Alex.
And because all of the shades were up in Judy's apartment. So that was, he tries to, you know, hope it's dark and it's not dark at all. So it doesn't work the first time. Then he invites Judy over to his very dark apartment.
And this I didn't expect. It doesn't work a second time.
It doesn't work.
I did not expect that. I really thought that because
he's so in his head.
Now he's just, that he's actually trying to get a Viagra and seeing, he who doesn't need a shrink, particularly on this topic because he's quite well set here. But
as Jennifer says, so they show him in his therapy session with Jennifer asking for Viagra and she's just like, no,
not for you.
Get out of here.
Yeah. We're done here now, people. Yeah. So that's why I was so excited. And how cute is this? They exit the dinner party and he kind of exits early. Val says, are you going to stay for dinner? And he's like,
no,
because there's a limit to what
we'll
I can
get
take
to that.
Here.
Yeah, Val has just ruined the entire atmosphere of the dinner party.
Yes.
And then the situation is complete. The phoenix has risen from the ashes. And
there's no holding
Alex
him back.
And Judy,
get it on. And in the car, right in front of the house. Like, they don't even leave.
Yeah,
they don't
right
even, like, go
Val's
around the
house.
Block or
it's
anything.
It's like the biggest F you to Val.
Yes, it is,
like,
right.
I'm so happy I'm going to bang my new girlfriend in my car in front of your house because I'm a man.
Yes, and I finally can.
Yeah.
And so we're not going anywhere. We're going to show the world, starting with Val.
I was so happy for
right
them.
Out her front window.
Yeah. So the end of the last episode, they kiss, and I'm like, yeah.
And then
and
now
the end of this episode, they bang, and I'm like, yeah.
I know. They're so wonderful.
I love
so, so I was really happy for him
that
because
dinner party.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, just that, you know, I want him to have love and then the sex wasn't happening, so now I'm just so happy for him. But but Val, way to torture everybody. Why?
She's the worst.
I'm surprised that actually Alex still befriends her.
Dude, I would love if Michaela came in here to talk to her because, you know, we're so mad at her character all the time.
Yes, right. She'd have to defend herself.
Fall
yes.
in love with her as a human being.
Yeah, which I know we would. And funny. Yes, beautiful and funny. But so she just rips everything apart.
Yes.
So
Alex mentioned somehow sex addiction comes up, and Alex says, well, that's not real.
Right.
And because Jack is a sex addict.
Yes.
Val takes this very,
very personally.
Not happy with that comment.
No.
Defensively, rather. And attacks everything and everyone in the room as a result.
Yes, right. And ruins the dinner party. Mm-hmm. Ruins the dinner party that she cooked for and just is so aggressive about it and I just wonder what Val is trying to achieve. And again, I think she's just trying to hurt everyone else because she's in so much pain. She's and she doesn't so know how to process pain. That pain.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like she has a good outlet for the pain. So she's just going to go after everybody. And she does. And she ruins the dinner party. So they kind of hightail out of there early.
And they could have such a happy little force. You know, every situation. Yeah. I'm like, you could have such a great dinner party, game party, everything. Yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
Because she's super weirded out by the fact that she and Jack decide to go for a massage after their hike. And the massage therapists come up to them and they say, okay, I'm assigned to you, I'm assigned to you. And Jack says, actually, can we switch so I can get the mail? And Val is so freaked out that she calls Alex
this was
on
weird.
The massage table and asks, can you get a happy ending even at a nice spa, or is it just at those seedy strip malls in Glendale? Which is, like, always where I get a massage. I do not get happy endings. I just like cheap massages.
You go all the way to Glendale from Santa Monica?
Like the strip mall. Okay. How can you resist $45 massages?
Oh, I know.
Massages?
It's so great.
And you know?
Everything in L.A. is so flippin' expensive, except massages. They're, like, on every corner.
So why not?
No, you got to move to L.A. just for the massages.
But they are supposed to be dirty, so oh well.
Are they? I've never had any happy endings.
No, me neither.
I mean, just just letting you know, boyfriend, I've never had any happy endings at a massage parlor. I just, for the record, people.
But apparently Jack has.
Yes. Oh, yes. And he went, in a very detailed way, explained how he would do it again if he weren't trying to be on the wagon.
Absolutely. He would disarm her.
Right, that's
so
right.
So if he had a female massage therapist, the whole reason he switched is to avoid the temptation. He's a sex addict. Yeah. He's trying to do a great job.
Right.
Of course, Val has to challenge it at every turn, you know? So he removes the temptation, gets the male massage therapist. But if he did have a female, he would have disarmed her with conversation
her.
And then convinced her to go out with him and then banged her. And then being the therapist.
Right, and then gone back to the receptionist.
Yes.
Yes, right. Yeah, I thought that was very fascinating how he was so sure of himself. Like, he could disarm her. He would just charm his way in, and everybody would want to sleep with him. I thought that was interesting.
I mean, I would want to sleep with him.
Well, okay, he's pretty funny and cute.
He's just one of those guys that would, like, banter with you.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. A beautiful thing.
It's so true,
But
he's very charming.
Has to ruin everything, and so gives him a hard time about it right
before he's going
to Dubai.
Which I thought was strange, because how long was he going to be in Dubai? Because don't they turn around and have that dinner party pretty quickly?
It was the week before. It was all those
time frames were going back and forth.
So the dinner party was after. Yeah, he was apparently in Dubai for a very short time. He's a businessman. He can do that sort of
thing.
And
Fair enough.
Val, meanwhile, gets kicked out of her storytelling class.
Oh, I thought that was so funny. Oh, I thought that was so great, because someone's starting to smack her around
a little bit.
She needs
to be
told
that her behavior is not acceptable.
And what I loved is that the teacher kind of called it. The teacher was like, you're not here, and your energy sucks.
Yes.
And so she, basically, that's what she's saying, you know, like, I don't want you around. Like,
absolutely.
Because Val was kind of defending herself, saying, well, I'm here, and I'm present, and she was like, maybe you just got to get out of here, because basically I don't like you.
She's like, I will give you a prorated refund, please leave.
That was great. And then they were like, and she was out too.
Okay,
Val was like, fine,
she didn't want to fight for it. At first I was like, good for you for fighting for it, you know, not taking it, but then she knows she doesn't belong there.
Yeah, she doesn't.
And Chase wasn't there. I was disappointed to say that.
I thought he left because of the disappointment.
Oh, did he?
It was never official. They referenced it today. They said, well, you know, maybe you want to find out if he's coming back or not coming back, or why he
too
left.
Too bad he's gone.
You know, he was heartbroken. The only person who really was into her. I don't quite get that, Chase.
That's true.
Oh, dear. But
that is very
true. He was really into her.
Yeah. So then, anyway, it cuts to earlier. The double date happens. It's a very confusing timeline.
Yeah, we're back and forth.
Through it.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes. I think we hit it all, did we?
Or
we check my handy dandy notes.
Oh, one more thing I have. Val tries to make Alex jealous at the dinner party by telling him about Rich. So you can tell that Val
way right through it. Oh my gosh.
And acts like Rich is the awesomest
world. And that Alex missed out and he would have wanted to meet our brother, half brothers.
You little minx.
And here's why I don't like Val and Jack together. Jack didn't call her out on that. Now, I understand that he wouldn't do that in person in front of everybody.
Yeah.
But when they were in private, in public, in front of everybody, but when they were in private, I expected him to be like, dude, you hated your brother.
Yeah.
I expected him to call her out. Because, and
he had more important things to talk about. But happy ending.
I guess so. But he didn't call her out on her getting him back into bed.
Mm-hmm.
and her sort of bringing alcohol back
but
into it.
But he's a grown man. He allowed himself to get back into bed.
Yes, you know, fair enough, but he didn't call her out on it anyway. Like, he can also call himself out on it. Like, I accepted the challenge, but you should have respected what I've, or followed what I've asked for, at least.
Well, she does have that moment where she says, I don't know what's wrong with me. So this was a big turning point for me, for Val, because we've never kind of, I don't think, seen her admit guilt, seen her admit shame over anything she does.
Right.
You know, so at the end of the last episode, we saw her call Laura, reaching out to her, great, maybe we're making strides.
Right.
Then this one, she literally says the words, I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yes.
So maybe through realizing, you know, they say, what is it, that the first step is acceptance or something, or calling out your problem or something like that?
Acknowledging your problems. Yes, acknowledging.
So she's acknowledging.
And it was kind of Jack, I think, to say, you know, and this wasn't fair. He said, your brother's crazy. I didn't think that was accurate. But then he said, you know, your daughter's 17, and that's always a lot of work, but not if you're Val, because then you're not doing any work. But all right. All right. In theory, if you're a parent, does she parent at all? No. So she does no work there.
Least.
But, I mean, how does that kid even have groceries?
But when
he
ran through that list of reasons, I was like, oh, my God, maybe I've been unfair to her. She did just euthanize her daughter. She doesn't have a 17-year-old.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
A little hard on her.
That's what I was thinking. And then I quickly went through the list, and I was like, no. I can still be hard on her because she's ruining everyone's life.
You can have issues happen in your life, but it's what you do with them.
That's right. And you can't take them out on everybody else because you're not being able to work through your stuff.
Maybe I'm so hard on Val because I am Val.
I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it. But if you really feel that way, then we have to alert your fiancé.
We'll see.
No, I don't think you're Val. No, how would you be Val?
I don't know.
No, people.
Maybe that's
forget
why I'm
she
so hard
said
on her.
That. She is not Val.
Well, I'll think about it.
Yeah,
we'll
okay.
See next episode.
Should we send you to therapy? Maybe
I'm
next show.
In therapy.
Okay, well.
And now this
should
is where
we I double it up?
Slide.
Okay. Oh, if only I had a disco ball for you. I would hold it. Oh.
But this has been really fun, guys. We had a good talk.
Yes, we did. We had a great talk. Yes.
So thank you so much for watching.
Thanks, everybody.
Break it down.
Yes.
I'm Kaylee Rose, and you can find me all over the social medias at Kaylee Rose, and check out my animated series, Between Busts, at Between Busts.
I love how you say the social medias.
The social medias.
The social medias.
All the medias.
All right. I'm going to go so old school. You can check me out on Instagram and on Twitter at Dinner Party CHGO. You can find me on Facebook because I'm so old school. I'm still there at Elizabeth Alfano. And check out all my celebrity interviews at The Dinner Party TV. I have a great interview coming up with transgender actress Alexandra Billings from Amazon's Transparent.
Awesome.
So that's going to be up any day now. In fact, it might even be up probably. Processing right now as we speak.
We'll
so thedinnerparty.tv. And until we see you again next week, peeps.
Thanks for watching.
Bye, folks.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.